Thank you, praise team, for that fantastic message and song. You know, it's always important for us to remember that, you know, Jesus did come to live among us, to be among us. And, you know, we remember that a lot here at Christmas time, but, you know, it's important for us to remember that all the time. You know, not just at Christmas time, but every single day of our lives, that God came to live among us so that he could die on the cross for our sins. And you know, that's kind of like what we're going to talk about today. We're going to see, you know, Christ's example of humility. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to see that Christ humbled himself. He came down to earth and to die on the cross. And that's what we're going to see in our lives today. You know, when we experience something sometimes in our lives, certain experiences change us. They affect us in ways that we may not think about or we may not realize until later. You know, a lot of times you have these experiences and they change your outlook. They change the way you think about things, whether it's a certain topic or whether it's just the way you live your life. One of these experiences that I had was whenever I was in college. I had the opportunity on several occasions to go on missions trips, to go to other countries. The first one I went with, and the one I'll talk about here, was whenever I had the opportunity to go down to Jamaica. You know, Jamaica, yes, it's beautiful. You see pictures online. You see pictures in brochures. You see pictures everywhere. Everything looks perfect and nice and pretty much like you live here. And yes, well, we did spend some time in Montego Bay. We didn't spend time at a resort. We didn't stay at a resort. We stayed about an hour and a half, 2 hours up the coast from Montego Bay, to where there's a lot of poverty. We got to see the real Jamaica, what really makes up Jamaica. While we were there, we had the opportunity in the church. I had the opportunity to preach in a service there. But we also had the opportunity as a group to spruce up the church a little bit. We added a couple ceiling fans because they didn't have air conditioning. And it's hot in Jamaica. We had the opportunity to paint the church, to spruce it up a little bit. One of the projects we ended up doing was what really kind of changed my outlook on things. One of the older ladies in the church lived in a pretty much maybe like an 8x8 house. That's where she slept, ate. Everything was in that one area. She cooked in that area. She did everything in the 8x8 structure. Now, I don't think many of us could go down there and survive in an 8x8 structure for very long. So one of the things we did was we added probably like a 6x6 area for her to go out and cook in, to cook food, so that way she didn't risk setting her house on fire. You know, and once again, she didn't have a lot of money, but yet she was one of the most kind, humble, gracious women, gracious Christians that I've ever met in my life. She was happy. She made sure that the 12 of us, now remember, we're 12 college-age boys. And those of you who have had boys know that during that time, we can eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. She made sure that we had snacks, food, water, while we were outside in the blazing heat doing this for her. She didn't have much, but she made sure that we had something. She realized that she had something more important than worldly possessions. She may not have had money. She may not have had what we consider luxuries. She had the opportunity to be a part of a Christian community, to be a part of a church that loved her, to realize that as a community as a whole, as Christians, yes, we were from America. We came down there. We were still part of the community, Christian community. And she was there to bless us and be a blessing to us as we were trying to be a blessing to her. You know, it changes the way you look at things whenever you see something like that. Yes, we like nice things. You know, who doesn't? But it shouldn't be the most important thing in our lives. There's so much more that we need to be looking for and so much more that we can do and looking to help others more than ourselves. And that's what we're going to see in our passage today. If you haven't already, go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to be reading in chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. And as we look at this, we'll see Christ's example of what Paul believed Christ wanted us to do and how he wants us to live humbly through the life that Christ lived. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection, any sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this good day and for this opportunity that you've given us to come and to look at your example of humility. How that you came down to earth, how that you did things that no one else would have done, to die, ultimately die on the cross to save us from our sins. Lord, we're just so thankful for that, and help us to follow your example and be just like you in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the first verse, in the first couple verses here, we see pretty much the blessings of being a part of the Christian community. We see that blessings that come from being a part. You know, think about it. There's great encouragement that we should feel when we come to church. We should be encouraged. We should be encouraging others and looking for ways to help others out. You know, there's some people, we go through difficult times in our lives, and 2020 has been probably more difficult for more people than any other year has been. Just with everything that's going on, there's been so much going on, but yet we can find encouragement within the church. We can find encouragement. People going through so many different things that we may not see. You know, unfortunately, like what we've done all year, we put masks on when we come to church. We don't put physical masks on, but we put on masks like we're okay, like nothing's wrong, like we're perfect. But, you know, we kind of hide what's going on. We kind of hide from being encouraged. We should want to be encouraged. We should want for others to come along and bear our burdens with us so that we can feel the love of Christ. You know, there's a song by Matthew West, who actually sang unto us as well. But there's a song by Matthew West. It's called Truth Be Told. It's a newer song. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I'll mention it a couple times as we go throughout this verse, this passage today. It says, you know, we think about it and we come to church, and we should come to church to encourage us, to be encouraged. But yet, we pretty much lie to us and lie to everyone else and say we're okay. You know, the first verse goes, says, line number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, you just smile and tell them, never better. Line number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. Because we keep those masks on. Those masks on that show that we're perfect, to tell others that we're perfect, that everything's okay. And we keep, you know, as the next line says, so keep your messes in your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. You know, we hide from encouragement. We don't do it. We sit here and we say we're fine, but we're broken. We're broken people who need encouragement. Many times we go through our lives and we don't get that encouragement that we need. We don't get that encouragement from other Christians because we put on this facade. We put on this masquerade that we're perfect. Nothing's going wrong in our lives. But in reality is, it is a huge blessing whenever you can be honest. The church should be the place where you come to be encouraged. Another verse of the song, it says, you know, there's a sign on the door that says, come as you are, but I doubt it. Because if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say that church should be more like a hospital? You know, a safe place for the sick, the sinner, the scarred, and the prodigal, like me. That's what church should be like. Church should be more like we come here to get healed, to get encouragement, to be better Christians. But sometimes we come here and we put on this facade. You don't go to a hospital if you're not sick. We are sick people who need encouragement. We live in an evil, wicked world that can pull us down in an instant. I mean, you just look at anywhere on social media, anywhere you see that. There's just so much negativity in the world. We should come to church to be encouraged. And that's what we should be doing. We should be looking for people that we can encourage. Looking for people to seek out who may be down. And church should be the one place that we as Christians come and can be honest and open with what the struggles that we have. That should be the one place we can come. It should be our safe space to come. We shouldn't have to worry about judgment, but we do. We worry if I tell someone this, I'm afraid they're going to go and tell someone else. But you know what? That's not how church should be. Church should be the place we come before God, come to be encouraged among people who believe the same things that we do. That's one of the blessings of being a part of a Christian community. And that's what we should be doing. And unfortunately, we don't really do that a lot. We don't really take advantage of that blessing for ourselves. We just let ourselves get down and discouraged. The second blessing we see is comfort from love. A comfort from the love of Christ. Think about it. God loves us no matter what. And this kind of goes along with encouragement. One of the biggest things that we can do and encourage each other with is to know that, be reminded that, you know what, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, no matter what's happening in your life, God loves you. God loves you. He loves everybody here. You know, this should comfort us and should give us peace to know that God's there. Because you know what? As we see, as this verse, the song Truth Be Told says, in the chorus, it says, you know, there's no failure, no fall. There's no sin you don't already know. The thing is, God knows everything that's going on in our lives. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the struggles. He knows the pain, the suffering. He knows everything that we're dealing with, everything that we're going through. And yet, He loves us anyways. We sin. He loves us. He has that unconditional love for us. And you know what? That gives us comfort. That should give us peace and encouragement. And once again, you get that by being a part of a church, being a part of the church community. That reminder that, you know what? God loves you. And you know what? That trumps everything else that's going on in the world. That should be where our focus is as a church. The next thing we see is that we have participation in the Spirit. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And that gives us that connection to each other. We all have the Spirit dwelling within us. And He becomes part of our lives. And it affects and changes us forever. And we also should have tenderness and compassion. Tenderness and compassion. You know, as it says in the verse, it says, you know, having affection and sympathy. That's pretty much tenderness and compassion. Whenever we do that, we become more in tune to each other's needs. When we follow this, we see someone's and we notice people. We see people, the expression on their face. And maybe it's different one week than it is most other weeks. Something's going on. Maybe that's an opportunity for you to go and encourage that person. To reach out to that person, say, hey, you know, what's going on? Is there anything I can do to help you? And that's what we see there. You know, we should have sympathy for others and empathize with what they're going through. We've all gone through troubles. We've all gone through trials. We've all gone through difficulties in our lives. Maybe there's some way we can help them. And not just those within the church. Yes, it is a blessing of being in church. But we can do that with other people as well. There are many people out there hurting, struggling with just everything that's going on in the world. And you know what? They don't have the comfort of Christ being their Savior like we have. You know, it's a great opportunity for us to witness to others and tell others about them. You know, many times we get our priorities off track when it comes to who should be first place in our lives. You know, and as we see that results of the statements, we see that in beginning of verse 2, it says, complete my joy. This is, you know, Paul was there, his joy would be complete whenever they were together in unity in the church at Philippi. He wanted to do that. They stood together in unity to reach out, to encourage each other, to remind each other of how much God loves them. That completed his joy. You know, and joy is, you know, something that's important for us to have. And Christian joy is important and vital for us. You know, many times we put ourselves first when it comes to anything in our lives. We think of, and we'll look at that once again a little bit later, but we think of ourselves more than we should. We get our priorities off. You know, joy, well, you know, it has a great acronym. There's a song out there by O. Philip Martin. It says, it's called Jesus and Others and You Equals Joy. And it goes like this. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you in the life of each girl and each boy. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you in whatever you do, put yourself third and spell joy. You can't have spell joy in this sense by having yourself first. And we see that as we go and we'll look at the rest of this. When you put these in the correct order, you have true joy. You have true joy. And we see that Jesus did that. Jesus put others before himself. And we'll look at that example of his humility as we go through. You know, we have everything in the correct order. We're humble like Christ. And we start to align ourselves with how Christ would think. And we're going to look and we're going to see here throughout the rest of this passage how we align ourselves to Christ's way of thinking. Back in the 90s, there was a huge movement. I don't know if it's how huge it was, but I remember it was on everything. It was WWJD. Maybe you remember that. You know, I know I had a bracelet. They put it on hats, shirts, whatever you could put it on and print it on, it was on. And now, you know, as far as the effectiveness of how it really truly affected everyone who wore it, we don't know. But it is a fantastic way for us to live as Christians, to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would we live our lives? And whenever we do that, you know, that just goes and points to the fact that we should have the same mind as Christ had. Think along the same ways as Christ has. As we move on to verse 3, we'll see that in the beginning it says that we should not be prideful or arrogant. Prideful, pride and arrogance are two characteristics that should never be found in a Christian's life. They should never be found in a Christian's life. But many times, we allow these to creep in. We allow these to creep into our lives. And it starts to affect the way that we view others, the way that we should view things. We think of ourselves more, maybe because it makes ourselves feel better. We may look at someone and we see people who are struggling or whatever, and we think, oh, well, you know, I'm you know, better than that because I'm not dealing with that. Or I don't deal with, you know, I'm not addicted to drugs. I don't have issues with other things. I have money. I have status. I have, you know, everything that I need. We start to look at those things, or we think that, you know, oh, this person only reads their Bible 2 times a week. I read mine 7, so I'm better than they are. We allow pride and arrogance to come into our lives, and it starts to affect us. It starts to change the way that we view people. But the truth of the matter is, none of us are better than each other. We're all the same in God's eyes. God views each and every one of us exactly the same. It doesn't matter how much money you have, the car you drive, the house you live in, or whatever. It doesn't matter. God loves us the same. It doesn't matter. We see that, but yet we allow ourselves to be drawn in by this pride, this arrogance, so that it affects us. It allows us to think differently, and then we start putting the joy out of order. We put ourselves first, even above Jesus, and it just changes and affects the way that we do things. We see in the second part of verse 3, it says, you know, we should look out for others first. That is a hard thing for us to do. Our human nature is for us to look out for us first. You know, it's all about me. You know, and how does this happen? We just get so caught up in our own little world. You know, we don't look at other things. You know, and it's just, we get so caught up in what's going on in our lives. We don't see that. We don't see the struggles. We don't see the pain that goes on because we're caught up in, oh, my life's perfect. It's all about me. It's all about me. That's what our view is sometimes. But that's not how it should be. We should look out for others' lives as well. In order for us to have the same mind and really think, what would Jesus do? We need to be looking out for others, looking out for ways that we can help others, point them to Christ, meet their spiritual needs and their physical needs if we can. Christ's humility is the standard that where we should evaluate the worth of everyone else. Christ didn't view anyone better than anyone else, and that's how we should be. We should realize that we're no better than the next person, someone who's not saved. God loves everybody in the world, no matter what, the same. Because, you know, we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He loves each and every one of us exactly the same. Exactly the same. When it comes to being, you know, prideful and arrogant, you know, we look down on others, maybe who are different than us, who look different than us, who do things different than us, who have less money, have less status. You know, maybe we think we're above doing something menial. Maybe you see a piece of trash on the floor of the sanctuary or a piece of trash out in the parking lot. You know, do you take the 2 seconds it takes to bend over and pick it up? Or are you like, oh, well, that's not my job. Someone else is going to do it. That's not the attitude we should have. You know, we're all the same. We're all servants. You know, we're all servants of God. And we should be willing to do anything. Think about it. Christ washed the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper. I mean, you see in the picture on the screen, Christ washing the feet of the disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but feet are some of the nastiest, smelliest things that we have on our bodies. Much less whenever we have asphalt to walk on, grass to walk on, sidewalks to walk on, shoes, socks, clothes, shoes. We're not in the desert. Just think about it. The disciples' feet would have been nasty, would have been horrible. They would have smelled. They would have been dirty. They would have walked on dirt roads, had dirt all over them, in between all their toes. They wore sandals. They didn't have closed-toed shoes. They would have been smelly, dirty. Because remember, they didn't even take baths every day or even a couple times a week like we do today. They may have been lucky to have one every week or every month take a bath and get clean. But yet, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, came down to wash their feet. The disciples were like, no, you shouldn't be washing our feet. But yet he was. He was a humble leader. He came to earth to be a humble leader. You know, he was a servant. And this is a task that people wouldn't have done by their choice. They would pay somebody to do this. They would pay a servant to wash someone else's feet when they came to their house. They wouldn't do it themselves because they felt they were above it. So Jesus was doing what a servant normally would do. And he was humble about it. We need to have that same mind here on earth. That we're humble. We aren't above anything doing anything. No task is too menial for us. We need to remember that. And we should not be afraid to get out, get dirty, and help others. You know, yes, you know, Jesus went to where people were. He may have hung out with people who everyone else was like, why are you hanging out with them? You shouldn't be hanging out with those people. They're the worst people in the world, and you're hanging out with them. But Christ went there anyways. The major theme of this passage is humility. In my Bible, in the heading for this section, it says Christ's example of humility. And so we see that theme, and you know, yes, we should have the same mind as Christ, but we also need to have the same love as Christ. And we see that in verse 4. The interesting thing is the first part of verse 4 is a restatement of what he just said in verse 3. The end of verse 3 says, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. First part of verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. That is literally a restatement of the same thing, just a different way. Those of us who are parents, or maybe who work with people, know and understand this concept. Whenever you say something multiple times, you want to place emphasis on something. You tell someone, you may tell your kids that they need to be back by 11. And then before they go out the door, say, remember to be back by 11. You know, we have those things and we deal with those things. If you're in the workplace, it could be the same thing. Okay, I need this by this time. I need this by this time. You say it again, again, again to make sure people know and understand. That's what Paul's doing here. He's emphasizing the importance of this, the importance of having the same love as Christ, for looking out for others more than yourselves. We want to make sure that, you know, we get our point across, and that's what Paul's doing. Paul is wanting to focus on the importance of others and how that we can help them, be there for them when they go through challenging times. You know, and we should be constantly looking for others that need help. Many times we have these blinders on when we go out in the world. We go out in the world and we have these blinders where, okay, I'm going here and I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to see anyone. And 2020 has been really helpful with that. Because, you know, I've done that before, put on a mask, put on a hat, and, you know, they can only see like this much, and it's hard to recognize someone when you can only see that much. We put these blinders on to cover us so we don't see people. But yet, we should constantly be looking for ways to help others. There are many people in this community, in this church, in this area, in this state who need help. Who need help, and it could be something as simple, or it could be something more complex. We should help them out in any ways that we can. We need to be looking at people who can't take care of themselves. I think that's where we struggle. We think, oh, people can take care of themselves. Well, sometimes some people need help. Sometimes they just need a kickstart to get going. It's kind of like a dead battery. Whenever a battery is dead, sometimes it just needs that jumper cable start to get it going, and then it runs forever after that. It runs for longer after that. You know, whenever I think of people who look out for others, and I think of those who put themselves in harm's way to protect others, to be there to help others, I think of the military, those that are serving on the front lines, those who are part of police, the first responders, the EMS, police, fire departments, all those people. I think of doctors, nurses as well, being on the front lines, dealing with illnesses that everyone's afraid of, everyone doesn't want to get. But yet, they're treating patients who have these diseases. They're out there doing this. They put themselves out there, sometimes in harm's way, to look out for others. And we should just be looking for ways that we can help others. Yes, maybe we aren't doctors or nurses, but there's other ways we can help people. Ways we can direct people, reach out to people, show the love of Christ to people that would never know it otherwise. Too many times in our lives, we have what I've heard referred to as the WIFM attitude. You may or may not know what that acronym stands for, but it stands for what's in it for me. We want to look out for numero uno. We want to look out for ourselves above everybody else. We don't care what we can do to help others. We only care about what's in it for us and how is it going to help us along the way. That's not the kind of love that Jesus had for others. Jesus loved others no matter what. And as we go to the last section today, we're going to see that we should have the same humility as Christ. And we see that in the last six verses. You know, we see that he had the form of God. We've got to remember, Jesus is God. He is part of the triune, part of the Trinity. You know, he is God the Son. You know, there's no question about that. He had the power over the physical world to do things that no one else could. And we saw that so many times in his ministry. You know, he caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Those that couldn't do for themselves, he cast out demons. He did so many other things. Remember, he fed 5,000 men. Now, once again, that's 5,000 men. That's not counting women and children. So it's probably closer to 10, 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's a little lunch if you think about it. I mean, 5 loaves of bread, the loaves that we think maybe would feed 20 or 30 people. But just 5 little loaves, and they're probably not the loaves we had. They're probably little cakes of bread to feed that many people. He did all this. He calmed the raging sea. He did all these things while he was here on earth. He's God. He was God, and he was 100% man. He took on the form of that. The great thing was, is that he did not exploit being God. He didn't use his fact that he is God to his advantage, to make his life more luxurious, to make his life more comfortable. You know, think about it. He was born to a carpenter. He would have learned how to be a carpenter. He would have had experience in building things as he sat alongside and learned from Joseph. He didn't come into the life of luxury, into a palace like many thought the Messiah, the promised Messiah they were waiting for would be. He came to earth in this. An important thing we see here is that we see that, you know, he didn't count his godness as being something that was to be grasped. He didn't count his quality with God as something to be grasped. Something, and literally what that means is something that you hold on to so tight. You hold on to. He didn't hold on to it by force. He was willing to let that go. He was willing to let that go and take on the form of a servant. You know, it's like if we hold on to a dog with a leash. We're out walking our dogs and they start pulling us. And we have to start holding on to it by force to get them back to where they need to be. We don't want to let go. If we let go, the dog would be gone. Just like that, God was willing to let go of that. He was willing to let go, forego everything to come to earth, to die on the cross for our sins. He let it go so that he could help others in Christ. He emptied himself. He didn't use being God to his advantage. He humbled himself when he came to earth. He was born in a manger. He was born to poor parents. He wasn't born in a palace. The word empty means he completely changed his status when he came to earth. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. It would be like me going and becoming a 2-year-old to help Hannah Joy do better, to learn. That's what it was like. It's lowering himself into the form of a servant. He emptied himself. He completely changed his form to live among us, to come to the cross to save us from our sins. And then he became obedient to the death of the cross. He was willing to suffer death on the cross. Crucifixion is one of the most painful ways to die, reserved for the most evil and wicked of offenders. Yet Jesus endured it. He was silent and he was humble, even though people were hurling false accusations at him. He could have used the fact that he was God to prevent his horrible death, but he didn't. You know, the song is, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't. He died alone for you and me. As we have seen in our sermon today, we have looked at Christ's example of humility. How he humbled himself, came down to earth, lived among us. He didn't hold on to being God and use it for to make himself. He was willing to let it go for us. He willingly gave that up to die on the cross. He willingly did many other things, doing things no one else would do, doing things we wouldn't even think about doing. He went to people that needed him. He went to those who, like as I mentioned, the other religious leaders of the day were would never go to, would never deal with, would never talk to, would never associate with. He ate with sinners. He ate with publicans. He ate with all these people, tax collectors, all the most hated people in the world. He ate with. He went to them because they needed Christ as much as anything else. He worked with these people's lives by meeting their needs, by being there for them. He didn't sit there and judge people with pride and arrogance. He came down. He humbled himself greatly. He humbled himself. You know, and as we've seen today, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, the color of your skin, whatever it is, God loves us. And God always loves us. And we should be going out and following Christ's example of that in our lives. We should be following Christ's example and be humble. Have the same mind as Jesus, the same love as Jesus, and the same humility as Jesus did. As our musicians come forward, let me ask you a few questions as we prepare to close. Where do you find yourselves today? First of all, do you know Christ? Is Christ a part of your life? Is He first in your life? Have you asked Him into your hearts? And do you know the blessings of being a part of a Christian community? Have you allowed yourself to open up, to not be so proud that you think that nothing's wrong? Do you have the same mind, the same love, and the same humility as Jesus in your lives? Are we looking for opportunities to help others and do things, put ourselves out there? You know, whatever the need may be, you know, I'll be down here if you need someone to pray with. But we're here. We want to encourage you. We love you. God loves you. And that's what we need to remember as we go through our lives. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this good day and for this opportunity you've given us, Lord. And help us become this time of invitation. If there's anyone that needs to come forward, Lord, help them to come forward or help them to be encouraged, Lord, that you love them and that no matter what, you're always there for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lawson, would you lead us in prayer today?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the way you bless us and protect us. Thank you for Josh and the sermon that you gave him. And as we hear the message today, that we could leave this place and go out and recognize the fact that you are in control and all things are possible through your touch, your love.
Go with us now as we leave this place. Ever keep us in your care. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.